Welcome to New Realities. My name is Alan Steinfeld, and each week on this program, I explore the spiritual renaissance that's really unfolding on the planet. And part of that are masters coming forward to lead the way, to be bridges to these higher dimensions. And tonight's guest is very much part of this new infusion of energy. She's Almeen, and she is a master mystic and one of the leaders, I feel, of a new wave of energy coming to the planet. Almeen, thank you for being a guest tonight.
Thank you so much for having me, Alan. Appreciate it.
Your work spans so many aspects of our unfoldment. Let's start with, I guess, the mystical part, or maybe a little bit about your background. You're from South Africa, but when did you start to tap into these other realms of consciousness?
My upbringing has been one of walking the way of a Toltec, and so I worked very quietly with small groups of apprentices for many, many years, Alan, doing what Toltec Nahuals do, which is to lead others to freedom after they themselves achieve the freedom from surface mind. And then in 2005, everything changed after two massive visions, one after the other, in January of 2005. And from that point on, my work has really been very specific. It's to gather the major light workers of the planet that will know when they hear my voice that, you know, that my work is for them. And from that point on, to assist in the physical with various things that needed to come into humanity in the form of bodies of information. And also there is some key turning to be done. Spent most of last year opening 130 secret, sacred libraries, hidden libraries on Earth.
Let me just back up a little bit. You said you were a Toltec. I studied some of the Toltec Nahualism, and how did you know you were a Toltec, and did you have a teacher you were studying under?
Very good question. I started to receive pockets of information through telepathy. And for years, I actually didn't know what was going on. There was a daily training going on, and it was telepathy. And so I actually didn't even know that this was Toltec information. I just knew that I was being slowly honed and trained and for something by someone. And then finally, one of my students gave me a book, and it was one of Carlos Castaneda's books. It's actually the only one I ever read.
Which one was that? I'm curious, because I've read them all.
It had a black crow on it. That's all I can
remember. Oh, The Eagle's Gift. I think it was.
Yes.
That's a beautiful one, yes.
That is the one. And I thought, my gosh, this is what I've been training years and years before, and this is exactly what I'm doing. And that's the first time I changed my website to actually say something that had a name to it for the work I was doing.
And then in this, like, past year, now getting back to these, are these etheric libraries that you've opened, or are they access to records, higher dimensional records? Is that what you're saying when you open these libraries?
They are, and I can sort of explain what happened to the first one.
Please.
Because it became a book, actually, which is the Revelations of Isis. It's called Opening the Doors of Heaven. I had been given just intense work. This was in the end of November of 2006. And finally, you know, after a week of just almost no sleep, just constant work that had been given to me by the infinite, I had to go to Dublin. So my first night in Dublin, I thought, I'm going to get a real present tonight. I'm going to get to sleep. And at 1 o'clock that morning, something knocked on my door. I tried to ignore it. It finally knocked on my forehead. And I woke up to see a massive scarab etched, like in black shadow, if you will, on light. on my wall. And I sat till 7 in the morning and copied its glyphs. And round 7, so I was just getting ready to finally get up and get ready for gathering with the masters there, I was transported instantaneously into a massive library in India.
Mm.
And it was the Isis Library.
Mm.
And there were thousands and thousands of scrolls and even more plates. And some of the plates were in gold and some on a green material. I don't know what it is. I mean, it looks like emerald, but it's not.
Oh, is that the like us emerald tablets that were they referred to?
Sure, emerald. I mean, that's a fact.
But were you transported with your body?
Yes.
Or you were?
Yes,
okay.
The reason I know that is because I stood there in my pajamas.
Wow.
And so, you know, when I came back, I could see my bed, and I felt myself materialize back in the bed.
Hmm.
And I translated one entire set of tablets and one fragment of a page of one of the green sets. And I didn't know why that particular set out of the thousands, but then I found out because very soon after that I was given the instruction to get the history of the cosmos from the history keepers. And they gave me dictation. I sat down and wrote out the cycles of the Earth and where she originated in space and how she came to be in the solar system and everything. But it dovetailed with the Isis records that I was given. But to this day, Alan, if you can plonk me down in the corner with a pen and a paper, I can be translating those records forever. Because they just are drawn, you know, right in front of my face. If I make a mistake, they will stay there until I have it right. And I can see them just absolutely as clearly as reading a book.
Now, are these downloads from Isis herself into a library that you're now accessing? Or?
Some are from her.
Uh-huh.
What's, for instance, in that particular book is a section by the one being that I really didn't know existed until it was January of 2005. It's the Holy Mother.
Okay.
Because apparently when we were in the deep dream state of the fall, when we were in the very deep cycles of the fall, you know, when a being dreams, it's their feminine that goes into the dream.
Mm.
And the infinite was embodied as feminine during that time. Now it's an androgynous being.
And what other kind of stuff or information were in those Isis records?
Well, so there were theories from the infinite explaining about the cycles of the fall. There was an entire portion of it that Isis did, and you can see, because, you know, I actually give the glyphs, and then I give, I give in that book, sound of the glyphs, and I just give smatterings of the glyphs so we can, you know, you can see it. But you can see how the writing is different from one set to the other, and how it sounds different. In other words, there's entries by the Holy Infinite Mother, and that is also the book that has Isis's writings in it.
So these libraries exist, but they weren't ready to become public until you were able to access them and bring them into the collective consciousness. Is that it?
Yes, and you know why the timing was then exactly? On my diary, if people, you know, want to look at it, they can sure just go to almeendiary.com and you can do a search. We've got a search engine. But the rows of the DNA, we have a rose pattern with glyphs in it. And the rose pattern with the glyphs in it also had appeared on my wall, but next to the scarab. At the time, I didn't quite know what I was looking at, but the libraries are in the rose pattern. That's why there's 130, and there's a very specific order to the row of petals, because it's not the mathematical sequence of Fibonacci, it's an alchemical sequence. So it's, you know, it's 3, 7, 12, 20, 33, 54, 72. There's a very specific alchemical sequence that the cosmos follows when it goes into higher life. And so what I'm trying to say is that the rose pattern represents the DNA of man. It represents the libraries and how it's laid out. It represents the sound chambers of the cosmos, which is nothing more than the sound chambers of the heart. It's the frequency chambers. And so as man's heart was opening, as the cosmos was awakening, the libraries were opening. And I translated in many different languages. Some of the libraries had keepers in them, some did not. I translated a bit out of each library that was required of me for it to fully open.
And I see, and there's probably more records that need to be revealed as we evolve as a planetary race.
Alan, there are so many hidden libraries. There are lost races. And I've been given, and it didn't happen all at once. I struggled terribly initially in 2005. And so I was given specific beings that had talents that could work with me till it eventually became possible for me to have it as a gift. Mm. But the gift of cosmic languages, whether they're written or spoken at this point, is a gift that I have. And I have in some instances had my entire class end up with the gift, and many of them brand new students, but most of the students in my classes are now able to speak some. Well, I cannot exactly say I've seen one that will speak all of them, but most of them speak several languages.
Of these light languages?
Yes.
Of these higher dimensional languages.
And that was the one that was on your music, was actually the infinite language.
Yes, Almin sent me a very personal sound elixir, which I really felt was activating something in me as I listened to it. So where are we? Let's look at the planetary situation from, well, your perspective, and people say we're moving to a dimensional doorway with 2012, and we have lots of help here. What's your view of it all and our evolution?
It's a very difficult question for me to ask.
I know.
And for answer, simply because that's my life's work, is that cutting edge where every day I spend possibly 6 hours not in these realms.
Mm.
And that's a good average. And so during that time, what I am working with is to observe and see and do whatever I need to in the physical. But it is, you know, it's with the light workers that are drawn to this work. It's not, of course, only me, but what my work is every single day to give on my diary for people what has happened in the night. And it is enormous. I mean, even since breakfast this morning, I haven't had a time to tell anyone. But I had massive visions happening as I was singing the elixirs, because I recorded for many hours today.
Well, what kind of visions? Can you share them here a little bit?
Yes, I can.
Yes,
see, I've just come from Ohio, where the masters there in my class and myself did just enormous work outside of the cosmos as we know it, into the macrocosmos. Because the goal was, I have been with this now for years, trying to find the root cause, and it's been like peeling an onion, for heaven's sakes, you know, but trying to find the root cause, Alan, of where duality began. What fractured the infinite? And something that was found by, I heard the infinite speaking as I was receiving the music that I recorded into the elixirs today. I heard the infinite speaking and proclaim that the reason that we are lying inside a massive rose pattern, which is, you know, boxes within boxes within boxes, like I explained, the reason things have fractured into like incubation chambers like that is because of rules and regulations. So literally,
who created those rules and regulations, and why are
we? The infinite. The infinite did in an attempt to create incubation chambers, so that different races and different beings, and even on the same planet, multiple levels of consciousness. It's like a batch of eggs with chickens in them, and not all the chickens are coming out at once, so they have the comfort of developing at their own rate and pace. So, you know, was there ever an accident? No. But when mind was created, which happened after the very first separation happened because questions arose and mind arose. But after mind arose, well, then it started to try and control.
Right.
For since 2005, every day of my life, several times a day, I have heard cosmic laws and rules. And even though two Septembers ago, the Infinite said they shall no more be called rules, there still is an attempt to guide and steer life.
By mind.
By the Infinite.
Oh, by the Infinite. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Because it just wasn't time to break the shells of the eggs yet. Today, for the first time, no more rules and guidance, just the pure unfoldment of the one life through its creation.
As of today?
Yes.
So we're moving into a new time, then, in that way.
Oh, it's so huge. There's more ramifications for it, and I am, you know, making sure I'm not getting too far out there.
No.
Well, then, if that's the case, the ramifications of this, Alan, is that if there are no boundaries, there is, in reality, no individuations other than a unified field. The oneness we have been searching for is today. And this unified field expresses as the many. But the actual shells, the actual compartments in which the many have been kept, are not there. I sat, and I can tell you exactly when this happened, New York time, between five minutes past five, a little before that actually, till 28 minutes past five. I sat in my car, I just pulled over to the side of the road, and listened to the proclamations that the Infinite was giving about the changes in the cosmos. That all within cosmic life was, first of all, to be totally purified and upgraded, and that they were to become one. Then the final nest that contained all those eggs that opened was to be released so that they could, so that cosmos and creator could blend. It was for about 23 minutes or so.
And so what's the result of this? Where are we going now as a multidimensional, new, awakened source of beingness?
Now, see, I will tell you that I don't know because it's new to me, but I can also start drawing some lines and finding the dot where they meet, and I would say it is the following. I would say that things like racialism, and very importantly, gender. Because gender came about as part of duality. If duality heals, the being inside every single creation becomes totally androgynous. Whether they choose to express their woman's side or their male side or whatever, that's their choice. But inside, there cannot be this division. And even in our behavior, the programs of what a man should be like or a woman should be like, we've got to get free from those programs, because we're like a person that's woken up from a very long sleep. It's like when a baby births, you know, they just kind of want to sleep it off because they're in a whole other reality.
So,
I assume a slow awakening. I beg your pardon.
No, it's been a slow awakening for sure. So, but the soul has always been androgynous, I would think. But I think what you're saying, what I get from what you're saying, is like suddenly now we no longer have to conform to some old pattern of being. Is that right?
You know what? Yeah. What you've just said there is the perfect summary that my class in Ohio and I have been engaged in. And they keep looking at me and saying, why are we writing down all these programs and things that are obsolete? We know they're obsolete. Why are we, there's because they were right. They were, we were, you know, every time I give a class, what I teach is something I never knew.
Mm-hmm.
If I write a book, it's something I never knew. So, you know, I say to them, look, I am not sure why there is this rush for us to through these vast alchemical equations to eliminate from the cosmos the conditioning and the programming and the expectations and the personal labels. But there is some reason for it, and today there's the reason. Because those programs make matrices, and the matrices are the eggshells.
But now the eggs are hatched. We're coming out of that.
Today they hatched, Alan.
Wow, thank you for sharing this news on...
And you know, the thing is that it's hard when everything changes at once to have a frame of reference to see how big the change is. Because if all of us immediately grew 100% larger and the earth and every tree and every rock and every house, who would know it?
Hmm.
It's like that. You know, there is for sure a massive, in fact, it's the most massive I've ever encountered since I've been called to do this work at the end of January in 05. There's got to be massive changes.
And it feels like this is just the beginning of major changes that are coming in this.
Yeah, I agree.
But of course, if you look around, everything seems to be pretty much the same, you know, on the physical, on just that basic surface dimension. Right.
Well, can I give some things that just in my life are very much different with my students?
Please. Yes.
See, I know that, but we've got to look at two things for the public, and then I'll just give you an indication of how I see the changes just in my own environment.
Yes.
First of all, we need to look at what hasn't happened.
Hmm.
I received in 2003, I think it was, series and series and series of visions of bad things to come, massive wars, all these things. They have not happened. Dates have come and gone. I mean, 2005 was a huge doozy of a year, and those things have not happened. That's number one. And number two, Alan, look at how people love your show. I looked at your website. I'm not computer literate, but my IT... you know, producer of my sound department, he got your website. People love your website.
I know,
and
it's very
before, I mean, we were the weirdos. Now,
yeah.
It's the popular thing. Everybody's talking about reincarnation and karma and kundalini and things that a few years ago people couldn't even believe we would be talking about.
Well, it's true. So, that's evidence of a shift in consciousness. You're absolutely
yes,
right.
Yes, it really is. You know, and so it's at least frame of reference. In my own classes, what has happened is that I've seen a whole speeding up process happening that's leading to some sort of a point. That point could well be what happened today. But what it is this. More and more people coming to my classes are shooting into mastery, into ascended mastery. Their lives are completely different. I mean, I had one of the sisters discuss the fact that she's had hot oil poured, it was water, actually, sorry, boiling water right on her foot, not a mark. She knew she was a field. She knew she wasn't a body. Cuts that instantly heal. You know, cuts that are to the bone without a drop of blood. The flesh opens, no blood. We see these miracles in my classes. Now it's a regular thing. Every single one of my classes now, we are able to take interdimensional photography. We were lucky to get one a year before that.
You mean orbs of light and things like that?
No, I mean way beyond orbs. I mean, if you go to, I've got an interdimensional photography website, but they're on all of my sites, blogs, everywhere. But we've filmed a huge giant walking through the class. My class, with half of them new people, received the gift of tongues the day before, and one of them, or two of them, were able to speak to the giant. You know, in his language, he explained that he was there because he had been preserving these 12 little beings. That was his task. We were able to photograph them. I mean, we have got the most extraordinary fairies and angels and are just fantastic beings. We have a physical dragon. And it's on
physical dragon.
Physical dragon. We filmed it flying above Glastonbury Tor.
So it seems like now's the time these dimensional doorways are dissolving and they're all bleeding through on top of into each other.
Isn't that wonderful?
It's amazing. I think that is why those that aren't prepared might have a hard time when they start to encounter these other realities.
Yes, that is true.
I call my show New Realities because I feel it's a preparation of these openings. And talking to people like you, if they would just listen without judgment, and then people could tap into parts of themselves that they haven't acknowledged.
I love the name of your show, Alan. I really do. I wish I had thought of it first, my friend. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful.
It's what you're doing. It's very important what you're doing because you are opening up. Well, you know it's important, but what I feel is you are opening up people's potential for parts of themselves that they never even knew existed.
And you know, you're right about how confusing it is for some people because in my classes, I have sometimes the odd person that is brought there by a friend and isn't ready. And I mean, they get ill. They lie on the floor. They have pounding headaches. They want to throw up. They want to leave the class because when they hold on to those old belief systems and the prison bars, you know, and suddenly it's just shattered. So they have to do something. Sometimes it's just better for them to be leaving. That's just really the sad part of it. But they can't accept that which their senses can't normally deal with.
That's why we need the new training. But don't you think this is all moving? I mean, yes, maybe today, but it also seems like this is probably the seed that will then sprout perhaps in 2012. I mean, do you get something about 2012 being a... specific.
Oh, okay, now, can I be a voice in the desert, Alan?
Yes, I'd love that. Thank you.
Because I've in the economy, I've also been sort of a voice in the desert with this, but on 2012, and I just want to add for folks that are interested in that, we've got, you know, the free YouTube videos on 2012.
Oh,
and
good.
And several video clips that's on YouTube regarding various aspects on 2012. So if they want a more detailed discussion, that's where they can just go and take a peek at it at their convenience. But what happened is at the end of 2005's month of January, from the 31st into first days of February, I was in my house, and earlier that month on the 5th, I had gone into a stage which was the beginning, the first phase of ascended mastery. And I had a massive vision. I found myself pulled in front of this female being of luminous light. Nothing was said. My life changed forever. The end of that month, I was again brought there, this time out of my kitchen where I was standing there washing dishes and in my clothes, just the way I was taken there. I was told that on the following day, the planet would start its ascension. As we started to move up in dimensions, the first 13 shifts that happened was just that humanity started to move up into the highest levels of life that was here on Earth. And after that, the Earth itself started to ascend. And became like the pivot point of the cosmos. And I mean, I've spent books explaining to people why us, why the Earth, why we are the archetypes of the cosmos. And it started to ascend. As it did, we left eventually the levels at which linear time as we knew it existed. And time started to speed up. As I said, you know, I was given initially only three, but eventually another three beings that worked with me at the time that was assigned to me because I was struggling with languages and going back and forth and, you know, not wanting to make a mistake, and for the first time being able to travel through space and time, it was very challenging for me. They suddenly one day they said to me, why are you doing that particular work? Huge, massive wheel that had to be constructed. You already did that. I said, no, I haven't done this. This is for this next gate to open it. There's thousands of angels that were participating in this, and I had to get all their names and all their sigils. They said, you already did that. We're now several gates ahead. Well, what had happened is we started to speed up in time. And by August of 2005, something I had prophesied that would happen in 2011 was on the verge of happening. We were speeding through what was our calendar year. And we were in 2012, in the first week of October of 2005. Everything changed, and the prophecy that you read in the book of Revelation about there shall be a new heaven and a new earth, literally happened. And and we paused 2012. 2011, I said, would be the start of the Third World War. And it would start by China attacking Russia, having made agreements with certain Arab countries to keep America very, very occupied, etc. For a month prior to that, I kept being sent by the infinite to do things about weaponry and all over the world. I mean, incredible things. And I didn't know why the rush was on. And finally, I mean, there were 60 aircraft lined up on the border to Russia. Within 20 minutes of them taking off and dropping bombs on Russia, the work was completed that I had been doing for a month, and the infinite stepped in, because preparation had been made in the physical, stepped in and prevented it. And as I said, I mean, by October, everything changed.
So that did, that reality kind of hit a dead end loop, and we were able to shift timelines into another conscious awareness. Is that it?
Well, it's more that if, now it's different now because time has altogether collapsed, but it's more that if you are in higher and higher and higher, higher levels, something that looks very, very long in the lower levels, like, let's say somebody asks an angel for help, and it's, you want the very best angel, so you get somebody that was at that point in a very high octave of life. They say, yes, they absolutely will help you. 6 years later, they start helping you. And you go, wait a minute, I asked for this 6 years back. For them, minutes have passed. You see? And that's how, as we went up, things started to... just the time started to go nuts for us.
So now we're in this whole new territory, aren't we?
Yes.
So, but what's so good about you and is that you somehow are rooted in physical reality. You probably could have not incarnated and also done this work in another way, but for some reason, you're here in physical form, I think, grounding in those realities. Is that true?
Well, you know what, Alan? I had learned such a good lesson about this particular subject. At one point, the infinite said, look, humanity is the densest race that exists. So everything is on their shoulders. This isn't fair. We will also put it on some of the other more etheric races' shoulders. They started to ascend much faster than we did because of the benefits you reap when you do this kind of, you know, incredibly beautiful light work that affects everything, that all the light workers out there are doing. It's massive returns in blessings. So they shot ahead, and it was like your skin making a blister. I was exactly at that time receiving the information from the history keepers of the cosmos, and I was taking dictation, writing second part of my book, which is called The Gift of the Unicorns, and suddenly they said, we can't see you. What is happening? I said, I don't know, but I can't hear you hardly at all. I can't hear you. It's getting very, very faint. And I asked, there was a one of the aspects of the infinite that I asked. And she says, I don't know what is happening. She said, it's pulling apart. Ask the infinite. The infinite said, that is because now the higher levels are able to be the impetus for the ascension. That's why we are only able to have ascension happen from the very bottom up, hence from humanity. It has to be, the keys have to be turned, everything must be lifted from the physical.
Well, this ascension of humanity, is this sort of reality rolling itself back up from into the involution from where we came? Is that the process
yes,
we're in now?
Yes. Oh, that's beautifully said. I love that. Exactly.
So we're really in this acceleration process. And then when we all achieve the Godhead, then what? Does it start again, or is it just unknown?
No, we will never start again.
Hmm.
Where we are now, mm-hmm. We have never been before, Alan. I know that because the incubation of individuated life for the one. And every few months, I will tell you that I get a deeper insight into the purpose of life. Mm-hmm. All I can do is share my insight today and tell you that it's in all likelihood going to change in a month.
Okay.
But the deepest insight I have at this moment as to why life is formed is for joy.
Yes, I totally agree. I was just saying that today, actually. Yes, I don't think you'll change your mind on that.
Yeah,
or get anything
not.
New. Because
I hope not.
No, that seems like the bottom line, because we are joy. The infinite yes. is joyful.
Exactly, and it created this exquisite creation of this beautiful diversity, but really it isn't a creation because nothing can ever be created. Everything that is real has always been. Mm. And it's more a question from, you know, if we have an inner, because I was taking some information down today from a set of records of a particular library that I'm working with in Ireland. This is a very rare library. It's a pyramid. And it fits in with all the things that have been happening these days. But I was translating a piece out of it. And in there, it spoke about the fact that we are like the sub-personalities of the infinite, the way we have an inner child. And I'm paraphrasing wildly here, but an inner child and an inner warrior and so forth. So it's not that that child is separate, and the child can say to the warrior, you know, I'm tired of doing this. I want to go out and play. And the mm-hmm. warrior says, no, this must be finished before we can go out and play. And then the nurturer comes in and speaks to the child and says, okay, I promise you we'll play, and let's even get that special movie and watch it tonight. You know, so it's like an inner dialogue going on.
And that's all. That's what we are with each other, because we're just
yes.
these sub-personalities of the infinite. That's
exactly.
what you're saying.
Exactly, and so we've always existed. We just haven't really been pretending to be separate.
Mm-hmm. But in the illusion of the world, which is what we're playing out, it's very fascinating, isn't it, and exciting.
Yes, it is. I mean, it's not an accident that we made up this game, you know. I just received earlier this year, and as I spoke to you earlier today, I mean, it's a blur for me because there's been 23 books that I've brought forth since January, all of them over 250 pages, because I just write as fast as I can. My mind is entirely empty, and I learn a lot. That's the basis of my life. But
right.
I received three particular volumes, all of them around 300 pages. And they've become this new course in the Applied Institute, the mysticism course that we spoke of, which is the Institute of Applied Mysticism. It's they can go to appliedmysticism.com and look at it. But the three books I received came from the God Kingdom. And it gave us how to become the sacred government, sitting on our front couch. How can we steer in terms of removing the illusion, being the affairs of the world, and become the sacred government? Just like it says in the book of Revelation, it says the saints, which are those who cooperate with life, shall govern the earth, is what it says.
Mm.
So it gives us that. But the whole first book is just to remind us of what is illusion and what is not. Like, relationship is an illusion. Mm-hmm. But it supports the game. You know, to pretend another is separate and then go and injure them doesn't support the game. So some
right.
illusion is helpful to the game and some is not.
But it's knowing the difference, actually, because in the subtle realms and...
You betcha. Because it's when we don't know the difference, well, that's when illusion has to prove the difference. Like, relationship, unless we understand that we are the one expressing as the many, relationship has to come up and stick us in the back. Because it has to show itself for what it is. All of the cosmos is designed to bring forth truth.
So that's important then, that people need to deal with that level instead of overriding and say, oh, it's all illusion, I don't need to deal with relationships, because that's part of working through the illusion, is dealing with relationships.
Oh, that's very beautifully said. Because, you know, something else that I had translated actually some weeks ago said the following. It said that egoic mind in its over-contracted state that sees the little self as all that is as addictive as the expansion of the master who disconnects from life.
Mm-hmm.
They're both equally addictive. Because
and ignorant of the totality.
Exactly, because there's no such thing as these opposites. They just don't exist.
So this is what we're here to learn in this illusion.
Yes.
We've created the illusion to learn these particular lessons of the illusion. To kind of be a greater part of all that is, I would say, or to be more of a fractal reflection of the infinite.
That is beautiful. Yes, exactly. Well, it's like my students that are taking the Applied Mysticism course. It's called The Science of Immortality and Incorruptibility. And they actually asked recently, but Almin, after we remove all these illusions, we realize we don't even have personal choice as the little self. So what's the point of life? What can we affect at all? And ultimately, we can affect how wonderfully we enjoy life, and we can, this life is going to flow through us. Are we going to enjoy it, or are we going to resist it? And secondly, the other thing that they absolutely have choice over, is the quality they bring to this dance that is being performed through them by ourselves as the one life.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're the dancer, but, you know, to say, no, I want my own freedom is like the feet saying, I don't want to do the dance because you're telling me what to do, so give me my freedom, you know. But we can become superb dancers, or we can just stumble through our steps. One way or the other, the dance will move through us.
It will move through us. Like, and Yeats said, can you tell the dancer from the dance, you know?
Because Yeats said that?
Yes.
I'm gonna write this down. I like that.
William Butler Yeats,
I'll look up
what poem, but it's in one of his poems, Can You Tell the Dancer from the Dance? And that's when life moves through you as life itself. And then I think the illusion and the non-illusion then come into alignment. The other thing I wanted to talk to you about is the alchemical text that you've brought through, because I'm very interested in alchemy. And on your website, the Academy of Alchemy, you say all the old rules of alchemy really don't apply because we're now in a new time, so there's these new laws. Can you talk a little bit about the alchemical process now?
Yes, I would be happy to. And perhaps I should just sort of summarize what is meant by alchemy. If one has a chunk of lead and you add another chunk of lead, you have a mathematical equation. You have two chunks of lead. If you take lead and you add something quite different to the lead, there is a possibility, because of what it is you're adding together, that you could leverage that equation to 1 + 1. In physicality, you can leverage it up to 1 + 1 = 96. then if you work with the alchemical potencies of light, you can go to 1 plus 1 equals 144. And the alchemical potencies of frequency, which is what we work with when we make people those personal sound elixirs, you can leverage up to 214. Then if you start working with crystalline alchemy, it will go up to 514. And if you work with gemstones in alchemical equations, you can leverage it up to 1,054.
54 what? What are these levels we're talking about?
Well, let's say it's consciousness.
Okay.
Like, for instance, you could leverage two things together, the specific qualities in you, and leverage your consciousness. That's an example of that.
Oh, so you're saying you're creating a frequency of mind by that leveraging,
it's the specific things that you add together.
Okay.
For instance, to remove some of the membranes of the cosmos, my class was instructed by the Infinite during this last weekend to make very specific equations. Some of those had 144 parts, and they had to be in a very specific order.
Hmm.
Perhaps a good way to explain this would be of how the ascension was done, starting in 2005.
Yes, that's good.
I was told to write out these thousands of angel names, and by August of that year, there were 4,000 angel names, angel sigils for the names, angel meanings, which is their jobs basically, and the angel sigil for their meaning. So figure how many thousands I had to write for that.
Wrote that out in longhand.
Absolutely. Yeah, but okay. It had to be written on huge, massive wheels.
Because you needed to capture the frequencies of those angelic...
Well, during the ceremony that then happened, Angel 1 would move into Angel 2. They would create a new alchemical equation. The joint equation would move into Angel 3, and this would go on to 4,000.
Mm.
And I had to, you know, participate in turning the key in the physical, but... Across the cosmos, these angels would create an alchemical frequency that would remove the membranes between realms so that there was an orderly procession of the ascension through from one realm to the other. So that's really a form of alchemical equation.
So would you say that's what happened today now? All the membranes have been removed and
yes, it did happen today because... The huge ramifications of today, it's going to take me, I'm sure, days to figure this out. But the point is that very specific things had to be in place, and specific things had to be removed. Because, for example, in alchemy, you can take 96 of something and add 16 of something else and end up with zero. That's alchemy that removes things. And so there was an alchemical equation that has been built up and built up for years that today, finally, the sum total of it was the removal of all separating membranes throughout existence.
So does a new structure come into play? Well, I guess maybe you don't know yet, because once it's all removed,
That part I do know, because I know that from some of the alchemical equations I've had to write in the last few days.
So what's next? Yes.
Well, formlessness and form are apparently, according to these equations that I wrote actually last night, they are equally illusional because they're opposites.
Mm-hmm.
So there is something beyond those two, because if something's real, it cannot split. Beyond it is the formless form, in which individuations exist, but we are experiencing it as separate images within those individuations. So it is formed, but it is still formless. It's the paradox.
Well, it seems like until the higher octave of the brain starts to come into function, we won't be able to cognize it into reality, right?
And see, the other point there, Alan, that I don't yet know the answer to, I mean, do we want to? Because then there's no game.
Well, there is a higher level of game. It's like,
yes.
You know,
yes.
But we'll know it's a game, I think. That's been the the kind of problem with the illusion. People haven't realized the game that's existed. Now when you know it's a game, you can still play and actually have more fun because you don't take it so seriously.
I agree with you 100%.
So then you could come, well, like how maybe you live. You move in and out of dimensions and you go back and forth, and then it's all joy, it's all play, it becomes something else. It becomes the art of living as opposed to the...
Oh, instead of the struggle.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because we thought we had to evolve, we thought we had to become in linear becoming, and we thought we had to grow when we were already so perfect, you know?
But when the illusion of having to have thought, which I guess is gets rid of the mind itself, then there's pure joy.
Yes. You know, if I may just...
Yes.
There was something I started to say and I sort of left it dangling.
Okay.
But this issue of the old alchemist wheels, can I address that? Or
Please, because I'm an old alchemist, or was.
Exactly. That's why I thought you might like this one. If you look at what the alchemists used to use, and you can see this on Wikipedia, I think, under Enochian magic, or you can also find it on my diary if you go to almindiary.com. But the sigil of Amoth was used by the old alchemists, and also if you see their particular wheels that they used, which I've depicted on my website, it's one of 14 websites, as you know, it's thewheelsofthegoddess.com, gives physical alchemy in basics. But you'll see the eyes around the edge of it. They use these eyes in their symbols. And they also used towers in their symbols.
Mm.
Well, that's because their source of energy and power that they used in their alchemy utilized the watchers of the cosmos.
Mm-hmm.
What the watchers of the cosmos were are the mirror reflections of the infinite's embodiment, because the infinite, the one being, has itself come in here as an embodiment into its cosmos, so that the aspects of itself, also an embodiment, can have that space opened, and it's been kept open by the one life, by the infinite, also creating an embodiment. The embodiment of the infinite, because of the mirrors, the sigil of Amoth shows the seven structural illusions of the cosmos. The mirror, the rainbow, the lens, the kaleidoscope lens, the echo, the mirage, things like that, you see. These
mm-hmm.
are all actually structural problems if you are in an eggshell. So the mirror, that is the 24 layers of membrane that has been around our cosmos, where the light couldn't penetrate through, bounced it back. A mirror shows everything backwards.
Hmm.
The infinite's reflections is the watchers. The watchers reflect illusion because they reflect backwards.
Mm-hmm.
In September of last year, the infinite started sending me into the matrixes of existence. I had to learn how to speak their languages. There were two layers to them, 12 each, and one layer was masculine vertical language, and the other one was horizontal. It looks like little cubes of dots and dashes, actually. I have never been in such a dark place. It was unbelievably dark. Because dark beings had found, by embedding themselves there, that they could actually prolong their life. The watchers were horrific, because as life-enhancing as the infinite was, they were the opposite. This was the power source used by the old alchemists, simply because no one in the cosmos at the time knew differently. The angels themselves took their marching orders from the matrix, from that which is opposite.
Hmm.
And
so now it's changed, you're saying?
It's
because
gone, yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
So all those old laws of alchemy don't apply and probably won't work anymore.
They absolutely cannot work. And because of that, for over 1,000 pages of information have been given to me by the angels on angelic alchemy. And that, on the 1st of October, if people want to go to the academyofalchemy.com, they will see our course starts on the 1st of October, and it features the alchemical potencies of light, frequency, etc., like I mentioned.
Well, thank you, Almeen. We're almost out of time. I want to say Almeen will be in New York on September 11th this year, 2009, and you can find that on the website almeeninnewyork.com. And I'm hoping to, we'll do an interview there. We'll do a television interview. Because, you know, just speaking to you, you really live on many realities at once, and that's very exciting. I mean, are you able to find your way through them all? I mean, because I haven't really met, I mean, because you're very, you know, you're functional on all those levels, and, you know, it's hard enough for most people to just handle one level of reality. So thank you for all the work you're doing. And do you have any closing words that you'd like to just leave people with?
I think my closing words should follow on what you've just said, and it is the issue of living in many realities at once. How is it done? It's done when there is not the weight of self-reflection. We give many just bits of wisdom. We've got the Twitter wisdom, Almeen wisdom, and it's Twitter and wisdom, or Almeen wisdom is the Twitter address, and it's only the little insights like that that help us day by day, and Paul is doing that for us, and he puts them on about three times a day. And it deals with how we can just shed the weight and the baggage, because if we live like children, totally unencumbered by self-reflection, we can live in many realities at once.
Do you mean self-judgment when you say self-reflection without the judgment? Is that it?
More a matter of reference points, Alan, because you weigh yourself against something, or you weigh yourself against how you were yesterday, or what you were able to do.
Oh, I see. So there's no self-reflection at all. Everything's just moving forward.
Yes.
In the moment.
Exactly. The unfoldment of the song of the infinite.
Oh. All right. I'm going to try that. Thank you. Thank you, Almeen. Your main website is spiritualjourneys.com?
Yes, it is. Spiritualjourneys, N-E-Y-S at the end, .com.
And then you also do a show on BBS Radio that we're listening to right now. What time is that show?
You know, I am so sorry. I don't know that.
Okay.
I pre-record all my shows, and I think that it is Saturday nights or Sunday nights, but if they go to BBS and they look up Almeen, they will see the exact time that it is. But it's about 10 o'clock your time on Saturday or Sunday.
Okay, people can just look up bbsradio.com, and if you're listening, you're already there under the archive. So thank you so much for expanding our realities with your explorations. It's very exciting.
Thank you so much for having me, Alan. Thank you.
And I will meet you in New York.
We'll do that, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I've been talking to Almeen. That's A-L-M-I-N-E. And she has lots of beautiful things to say on the websites and YouTube. My name is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. Thank you for listening. And check my website, newrealities.com. If you want to email me at newrealities@earthling.net. Thank you for listening.